Welcome to Postcast tonight. Utah Jazz beat the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. The Raptors had the second-best home record in the NBA. Raptors were 17-4 against teams below 500 this year. Raptors are doing a lot of things really, really well. And the Jazz closed tonight on a 7-0 run, a night after closing on a 10-1 run to force overtime. So really very, very impressive in a lot of different ways by the Utah Jazz, Ron.
Yeah, first and foremost, I mean, this is a very good basketball team, meaning the Raptors. Tied with Boston before tonight started in the loss column with 14 losses. They wanted the best teams in the game at home at 17-3, and the Jazz beat them. But the Jazz have a winning record against this team on the road. Well, so they're now 13-8.
Maybe the reason I love this city so much is we always play really well here and we have great games. I don't know. Lots of different things to talk about, but the biggest thing that's going on with this team that's different is having Rudy Gobert. And, you know, during when he was gone, we got kind of that blip where they got hot for 6-7 games. I think it fooled us and got really frustrated, but just having his presence changes everything. The Jazz defense tonight was exceptional again.
It was off the charts. It was so good, it kind of bothered me there for a minute because Rudy was doing a lot of helping out, and Valanciunas has just continued to have a great night because of Rudy's having to help out with dribble penetration. But Valanciunas, don't take anything away. He had a great basketball game, but Rudy has really made the difference in the Jazz defense. I hope that this combination, the way Quinn is using Rudy and Derek Favors. I didn't think Derek played bad either. I thought Derek played very well.
No, Derek's played very well the last two nights.
So I hope that combination continues to grow to the point where it's really, really can be successful for this team.
It's interesting is Valanciunas has a big night, but DeRozan goes 7 of 22 and Lowry goes 2 of 14. Now, Rubio's always given Lowry fits. Kind of interestingly, if you go back and look at their history together, Lowry's never played particularly well against Kyle Lowry hasn't played well against Rubio, which is kind of a weird phenomena to look at, and I'm not entirely sure why that's the case, but you know what? We'll take it. To some extent, you're giving Valanciunas a night of 28-14 because you're trying to deny DeRozan and Lowry their nights. Rudy's playing up. He's playing a little bit more than he was playing a little higher on the pick and rolls, and he was impacting both DeRozan and Lowry's comfort level.
Yeah, 24 points between the two. And obviously, you know, they're leading scorers. That backcourt is just that good. But you're absolutely right. They took away a lot of DeRozan's mid shot games, or the free throw line, that type of a game, because Rudy was helping out long enough and bothered the shots. But as you mentioned, Valanciunas had one of his better nights. I think his season high was 23 going into tonight's game. What did he end up with, 28, something like that? And so you sacrifice two for one because neither one of those guys played very well. I'm talking about the backcourt of the Raptors.
Here's the most interesting part of the game. The Jazz get a stop on DeRozan. They're down one, and about 15 seconds left, I think, when they get the rebound. Shot clock's off, and Quinn Snyder does not call a timeout. He calls four flat, which is four guys go to the baseline, and Donovan's going to go one-on-one. I think the reason he doesn't call the timeout is because teams have been trapping Donovan so much. This is just my thought. I haven't talked to him. Oh. But that they've been trapping Donovan so much, and if Donovan's going to get a play, if you call a timeout, he's trapping you. He's trapping Donovan.
Well, let me add to that, because being on TV, we got a chance to hear the post-game interview with Donovan. Now, Donovan says, because I was very impressed with Rubio knocking the three-point down, and I watched him stare Donovan down and walk to him and you know, to the point where he was so excited, you gave me the ball, you know, that type of thing. But Donovan said on the post game that he heard Dwayne Casey say, go double him, telling Lowry to go double him. So he knew Rubio was going to be open. He gave him the basketball, and Rubio knocks it down.
And that's the right play to make. And so the Raptors are a veteran team. They do what they would have done without the timeout, and the Jazz are able to react. And Rubio's got to take that shot, and he makes it, which is great. He actually had two really good high-arching threes tonight, which he's been working on so much with Igor Kokoschkov. So great to see. But and also a little bit of – there's been a storyline here that I'm not sure, honestly, that a lot of fans totally understand, which is the fact that these guys have allowed Donovan to become Donovan. Now, he's so good that it's kind of obvious, but a lot of veteran teams don't like the rookie coming in and becoming the show. It's plays like that, that where Donovan has also allowed Donovan to become Donovan. Because if he goes and tries to force that double team and turns it over again late in the game, that starts to wither away, and he didn't do that tonight.
Well, and I totally agree with you there. And I know he's made a lot of mistakes. He's made some huge, big plays, but he's made mistakes. And the Jazz are living through that. I mean, okay. You'll get better, you know, and they're letting him go. He made a couple of drives tonight that he probably should not have made, got himself in trouble, maybe threw the ball away. But, you know, they're letting him go. I mean, he'll get better. He'll get smart. Just at the last play of the ball game, he knew to give it up. I mean, the double team was coming. It's like having to defend Michael Jordan and Steve Kerr knocking down the game winners, you know.
So Steve Kerr's a better shooter than Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
The other part of this is how much these guys like Ricky Rubio. They know he's struggling with his shot. They know how hard he works every day with Igor. He is such a pleasure to be around as a person. They want him to do well, and that bench reaction to him making that shot was awesome.
It was really awesome. I used to, Rodney Hood jumped up off the floor and off the bench, and, you know, he's hurt and wants to be out there, and he was excited there as well. But Rubio's shooting it's a problem, but, man, he just hustles all the time. And just he rebounds. I mean, his double doubles this year have not been doubles. He's had more double doubles with points and rebounds than he has with points and assists this year.
14-6-6 tonight was interesting. Jack Sikma, who's an assistant in Minnesota, first thing he asked me, "How's Ricky?" Everyone who's been around Ricky likes Ricky. He's such a great kid and such a wonderful man. Actually, at this point, I guess. And he hit the big shot tonight. Good win for the Jazz. 2-3 on this road trip. The impact of Rudy Gobert. And what it's done to the defense the last few nights, I have to say, puts a little bit of perspective on the stretch where the Jazz were struggling so badly. You kind of look back and say, oh, wait a sec. The Locked On Jazz today, if you did not hear, it was all about whether the Jazz can be elite defensively again, and some numbers that said they could, and they proved it again tonight. Thank you all. This has been Postcast here on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Bye. Thank you.
So stayed up, huh?
Yep.
Thank you.